Newman's Umbrella. Newman, growing up in London, was familiar with Cockney slang and used colloquial language in his letters. Perhaps he sympathised with his Oxford parishioners, having, as his 1824 diary notes, buried Gedge, the umbrella maker, by calling him the Brolyman. A popular English expression for an umbrella is a brolly. How often Newman protected those he wrote to who were undergoing the storms of religious doubt with an overarching canopy of reassurance. We see an example of this sure shelter in his 1839 sermon, heralding the journey of 40 days with Christ to Calvary and beyond. From the first age downward, not a year has passed, but Christians have been exhorted to reflect how far they have let go that birthright as a preparation for claiming the blessing. At Christmas, we are born again with Christ. At Easter, we keep the Eucharistic feast. In Lent, by penance, we join the two sacraments together. In thanksgiving for his spiritual reading on the 27th of March 1867, 2 weeks into the penitential season of accompanying Jesus in the wilderness, Newman enthusiastically responds to Emily Bowden's gift. I rejoice to have this volume. I have long had a devotion to the Fathers of the Desert. Newman also sounds a note of caution, advising us not to set unrealistic Lenten goals. They are to be challenging, but achievable and carefully tailored. We should very much be on our guard when we are engaged and contemplating the lives of holy men, against attempting just what they did, which might be right indeed in them, and yet be wrong in us. We ought to attempt nothing but what we can do. Newman outlines the consequences of choosing penances which are too difficult to manage and become occasions of sin, which harm others through our inevitable ill temper. He also warns us to be watchful. It will be a sad remembrance if we shall find, after all that we have undone, what was right and profitable in our Lent exercises by a relapse in Eastertide. Newman recognises that every serious spiritual intent benefits from a lightness of approach. Struggling to manage this balance himself, he crisply replies to Miss Munro's pre-Lent letter of 11th of February 1850, because her friend Miss Moore has described him as a saint. I have nothing of the saint about me, as everyone knows. I may have a high view of many things, but this is very different from being what I admire. It is enough for me to black the saint's shoes, if Saint Philip uses blacking in heaven. Newman encouraged everyone to believe that becoming holy was within their reach, and offered the following practical advice as a guide to reflecting upon Jesus' risen presence at work in every event of our lives. Sharing a proverbial expression commonly used by his congregation, he concludes, "It is an old saying, out of sight, out of mind. Be sure so it will be, so it must be with us, as regards our blessed Saviour, unless we make continual efforts all through the day to think of him, his love, his precepts, his gifts, and his promises." We must recall what we read in the Gospels and the holy books about him. We must bring him before us, what we have heard in church. We must pray God to enable us to do so. In a word, we must meditate. For all this is meditation, and this even the most unlearned person can do and will do, if he has the will to do it.